We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, folks, we got a key transmission coming up for you here today. It is, of course, Monday, November 7th, 2011. And so much is happening that just makes my mind spin, because we knew it was coming and then you watch it happen. Italy, too big to fail, too big to save. And it just goes through the fact here at CNBC that if you think $100 billion was bad with Greece, we're talking about close to $1 trillion in Italy, most of it derivatives the public signed on to, and now they want Americans to pay for part of it. Your taxes will go up. You'll be lectured by a bunch of college people that can't get jobs, that you need to pay them more money. And the general public, again, just doesn't have the basic facts down on what we're dealing with here as a society. They're now talking about Berlusconi stepping down. It's caused all sorts of problems so far in the market today. We'll continue to track that. Italian government borrowing rates hit euro error high. Now these countries have been basically maneuvered into bankruptcy. Now they pay more for the future debts. But it's set up under fractional reserve banking where you always pay more. Debt is created just for money to be created. And then in the final equation, they've convinced you to go into more and more debt. And guess what? The debt's going to cost more. It's going to take even more money to pay off that. And the taxes go up and up. The society falls apart. Meanwhile, the average American is being distracted today with a sexual harassment story. All these women wouldn't go public about Herman Cain. Well, now Gloria Allred has obviously gotten some woman hyped up enough to do it. And I don't know the truth, but I mean, at the end of the day, there's people being killed all over the planet. Our cancer rates are doubling and tripling, and we're having bioweapons put in our food and water. And the globalists are admittingly, you know, doing this to us, and we're busy worrying about Herman Cain and all the, you know, reported escapades that he might have been involved in. It's incredible. Cain accuser from Chicago. She speaks. Allred sought his help with an employment issue. Instead, offered his idea of a stimulus package. And then meanwhile, we've got jury reaches verdict in Jacko trial. And again, I understand folks hear about these stories. They follow them and then it comes out. But now we see the accuser. A reported looker from Chicago. I was very, very surprised and shocked, she said, in recounting the detail of the aggressive sexual overtures 14 years ago. Mr. Cain, I implore you, make this right. Politico first reported last week that the National Restaurant Association settled sexual harassment claims brought by Cain by two women in the 90s. A third woman told the Associated Press last week she had considered filing a similar complaint. Tonight on the Nightly News, I'm going to get into the fact that Bill Clinton settled lawsuits for raping women, and the feminists were defending it. Look, all of this is just society crumbling. So it's a big political distraction, and it'll actually make him look like a hero to a lot of conservatives that are sick of this stuff, when we should be looking at Ron Paul, who you notice has none of these problems, because he's not involved in this kind of stuff. All right. I also just want to thank all the folks that gave at the Money Bomb. You can still donate if you'd like. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com until tomorrow. Sometime in the afternoon, we're going to keep streaming the 27 hours straight. If you missed any of the incredible interviews, and they're also posted up there in sections and parts at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. But we couldn't have done all this without you. And I want to thank all of you that did give. If you are people of means, that's who should be giving to the number one alternative media outlet confronting the globalists, defending the republic. I don't want little old ladies and people on fixed budgets to give me a red cent. You're listening and spreading the word is so much. I love you. I appreciate you. But if you do have means, you really should give at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I mean, who else is working this hard? Great job of the crew, by the way. And, of course, coming up after the show today, we'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWarsNews.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Monday, the 7th day of November, 2011, and we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Dan Kofall, who is a popular host up in Dallas and has a great financial analysis, will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the next hour. We will have open phones throughout the full 3 hours as well. He's a talk show host up on 1190 AM in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So he'll be joining us coming up right at the waypoint or middle point of the broadcast today. And we're going to have open phones, as I said, on any news item, any issue. Normally, I say I'm going to go to the news first before I give out the number. But I just want to hear what you think is most important happening in the world today. Is the Herman Cain thing a distraction? Yes, I think it is overall. From looming war with Iran, global financial meltdown by design, government just raising fines and fees at every level. I think it's a distraction. I mean, look, I'm more than happy to see Herman Cain in political trouble because he's the former head of the Federal Reserve in Kansas City and a globalist who wants to bring in new taxes. And somebody who's been caught lying about Ron Paul saying, I never said you people that want to audit the Fed or Ron Paul supporters are stupid. And I don't appreciate you making that up, Ron Paul. Not everything you see on the internet is true. And everybody laughs when we played the clips of him saying it, and it's in his book. So I don't like Herman Cain. Let's get that straight. I mean, as a person, he's funny. He's likable. But they say Ted Bundy was likable. He knew how to trick girls to get in his yellow Volkswagen. They say Hitler was likable. Obama is likable. They say George W. Bush in person was likable. Bill Clinton is likable. Richard Nixon was likable. They say Mao Zedong was likable. They say Jack the Ripper was probably likable if it was the prince, like a lot of them thought. The point is, that doesn't matter. It's not about a beauty contest or a likability contest. It's about what do you actually stand for? And the person is Ron Paul. By the way, Ron Paul has a shock win in Illinois straw poll, but Mitt Romney is just behind, the Daily Mail reports. Here's another one. Ron Paul wins Illinois straw poll. Wow, why is that a shock? I mean, he's won almost all of them. But when he does get second place, they'll mention first and third and fourth and fifth on Fox, CNN, they all do it. Or when he wins first most of the time on TV, they just cover two, three, and four. And it's the entire establishment. It's mainline Republicans on talk radio. You've heard them. It's mainline Democrats. They're scared of Ron Paul. Why? Because he doesn't like the status quo. So we'll be talking more about that coming up today. Obviously, the top news is the economy and the Iran situation. Of course, we have the headline this morning up at Infowars.com. It's all over the news that Israel is now saying, Haaretz is now reporting, and others are, that the Israeli members of the cabinet who were against the Iran strike are now saying that they're for it, and that Benjamin Netanyahu has now more of the Knesset lining up behind this preemptive strike on Iran ahead of all of this, of the strike. We're seeing reports now coming out. I'm going to go over some of those, that, of course, the new UN IAEA report is going to come out and claim that they can have a nuclear weapon within weeks, or the fissile material for some type of atomic weapon, at least, in weeks. And so that is the pretext to now strike Iran. I mean, is the argument we should hit North Korea because they got nukes? Or how about Pakistan, our gallant ally, we're told? Or how about Russia? We had a 50-year Cold War with them, and they had 10,000, 20,000, by the peak, 30,000. Same thing with the United States. Even more than 30,000 nuclear warheads. Does that mean we should have just all blown each other into oblivion? And I also saw an ABC News report, people are protesting a barbecue joint that had a photo that said, let's play cowboys and Iranians. And continuing along that line with the cowboys and Iranians statement, it shows a bunch of people in cowboy outfits around a person in a turban or Middle Eastern headdress who has been hung, been lynched. And it looks like a famous lynching photo I've seen. I haven't had time to track it down, or it's a black person, but they've put a Iranian up there. And see, this is very offensive for a lot of reasons. Number one, most of the good old boys, who aren't bad people at the end of the day, really think Iran ran 9/11. They think Iraq ran 9/11. You could say that your grandma did it. You could say a Baptist preacher did 9/11, and they'd be for lynching them. It's very tribal. It's very primitive. The outside enemy that struck us. And the globalists can put that label on anybody. But most of the different sociological analyses that have been done, and a lot of the major polls, you can just search, vast majority of Iranians support the West. Vast majority of Iranians, Persians, do not like the mullahs. It's around 70%. So we're talking about saying, let's kill all the Iranians when 70% of them like America. It was a pro-Western country run by Mohammad Mossadegh, who was pretty much a secular poet and was also anti-Soviet. But that wasn't enough in 53. The United States, along with MI6, led by Kermit Roosevelt of the CIA, this has all been declassified in the late 90s, staged terror attacks against mosques and said that Mohammad Mossadegh had done it. Then they allowed the Muslim extremists, as they would be called, to overthrow him, and then they double-crossed those guys and put in the Shah, who tortured conservatively and imprisoned. Around a million people disappeared. And you got to understand, Iran's population back then was about 5 or 6 million. And so over the 30-plus, 40, I don't know, from 53 to 79, over that period of time, around a million people disappeared. Imagine, pro-America, a place where they invented mathematics and so many other things, and the average good old boys, kill them Arabs. They're not even Arabs. See, I mean, it's this level of ignorance, and it makes me want to throw up. It makes me want to throw up just these good old boys. Most of them haven't even been over there. And we're talking about kids getting their faces blown off. We're talking about Israel striking dozens of targets, dozens of times apiece. And the U.S. plan to back it up, because there'll be some response by Iran, is to bomb the entire infrastructure, water treatment, power plants, bridges, to, quote, destroy the warfighting capability. It's going to kill tens of thousands of people. Iran didn't run its actuaries properly with population growth. They went from 5, 6, 7 million people 50 years ago to now. I was going off Iraqi numbers. What was I thinking? See, sometimes I'm a little flustered today. Off a long weekend, because it was not really a resting weekend. It was fun, but a lot of stuff going on. Iraq went from 4, 5, 6 million in the 50s to 25 million. Iran went from around 20 million to about 77 million right now. So there you go. The point is, their government really didn't do the proper actuaries, and their population exploded, and they never built up enough of an industrial base to even be able to supply their own gasoline for about half their people. They have to import about half their gasoline. They don't have any offensive war-making capabilities. They're pro-Western under Mossadegh. Then they put the Shah in, who industrialized the country to a certain extent. And then this is mainline history, you can go search it. The West actually helped then double-cross the Shah and put the radical mullahs in. Didn't mean that they controlled them, but they helped get them into the country. And then they had the deal against Jimmy Carter, to where Jimmy Carter wouldn't get the hostages back. He would be double-crossed, and they would wait until the next administration came in. That was all part of Iran-Contra selling cocaine in the United States and then shipping weapon systems and money into Latin America, which then turned around and was sent to Iran. And then Iran turned around and released the hostages. And it just goes on and on. And it's all part of the ongoing double crossing that goes on at these higher levels of government. So here are some of those reports. IAEA report on Iran set to raise Middle East tensions, and they're saying that they're going to come out and say that they could have atomic weapons or the material to build them in a matter of weeks. That's out of Reuters. There's another one, Washington Post. IAEA says foreign expertise has brought Iran to the threshold of nuclear capability. Iran will be able to build nuclear bomb within months, IAEA says. Again, that's Haaretz. Russia issues stark warning against Iran attack. That's on MSNBC. Official reality is a prison, mind control in the West, Israel and Iran. Got an article up at Infowars.com breaking that down. Also, the Chinese official news is reporting Iran says IAEA's documents on its missile program are fake. And Iran's Ahmadinejad defiant as U.S. raises heat. That is just some of what is coming up on that front. And then we've got the huge economic news here. Italy, too big to fail, too big to save. We're going to be going over that report. Also, speculation over Berlusconi, Royals, global markets. The markets are all in turmoil. We're going to be going over what's happening on that front as global government gyrates out of control. And we'll get into some of the new Big Brother Act. We are back live. The toll-free number to join us on the Iran situation, on the fact that as soon as Europe got the new debt deal to give $5 trillion, 1.4, 1.5 leverage at least three times to the megabanks and to dissolve more sovereignty of the countries, all of a sudden more countries started collapsing, which I've told you for over a decade is the plan, which I broke down in detail 3 years ago in the Obama deception. How are we able to do this? Because it's all planned. How am I able to tell you what's coming on tonight? I mean, the NFL is going to be on TV tonight. People are like, how do you know this? Because it's called Monday Night Football. I mean, it's something that's part of a programmed, planned thing. This is the New World Order. Of course, the Vatican has called for global government, global currency. Of course, all the other major denominations are calling for it. Of course, all these governments are calling for it because everybody is bought and paid for now by the big mega banks who issue the currency and credit out of nothing. The whole world bows to the power of the New World Order. And look at the type of articles I have. This is just two that I came across this morning without even looking. I saw these. And by the way, everywhere I go now is cops. I couldn't go camping this weekend, and I wasn't even hunting. On our own property we've had since like 1829, without game wardens showing up. And I saw game wardens on the highway and the ranch, three ranches down from us. It's been there for 150 years. I saw happy family with their RV out there and family visiting them that obviously come into town for deer season. Somebody didn't have a doe tag properly, so they got arrested, I heard. I mean, just game wardens coming out of the sky everywhere. I mean, it's not just in the news. You can't be left alone, and you're not going to be left alone. Read the Declaration of Independence. There's always a good excuse for it, of course. They've always got a reason for their tyranny. Throughout history, the Nazis did as well. The point is, there's always more. We've got to stick our hands down your pants. We've got to have hidden microphones in the lamppost to keep you safe. Love it or leave it. I saw a couple articles about Jesse Ventura this weekend saying, love it or leave it. Because he said, this isn't his country anymore. It's now the fascist states of America, which it is. And the people, the newspaper reporters in two different articles said, love it or leave it then. If you don't like it, just leave it. Like, if you don't like what the government's doing, just leave. Oh, but it's a global government. I can't leave. It's a global corporate government. But also, I thought it was we the people, right? I thought we were the government. I thought we made the decisions. And they say, oh, well, you voted these people in. Really? Congress has a 9% approval rating. The American people do not like what government's doing. And government is arming to the teeth against us, saying love it or leave it. But then putting up currency controls, capital controls, so you can't get out of the country. And they're hiring every thug you can imagine. Look at these articles. Missouri residents upset over order to move lake homes, Associated Press. And they admit there's been neighborhoods in this area for more than 50 years. But now the feds have come in with new federal guidelines saying they can't live there. Oh, yeah. I know people. I have friends and family. In one case, who has a lake house, a little lake cabin. It's got to be 100 feet above the lake. And I don't mean 100 feet diagonally. I mean 100 feet above the sea level of the lake. There's no way it would ever be flooded. And so what if it was? The point is, now you got to buy flood insurance. Who do you buy it from? FEMA. This is the mafia government. And here's the article. They're making folks, it says, all over the Ozarks move off the lakes. Oh, but they've got a special deal where if you pay them as protection money, they'll let you. Nearly every year, Patsy Riley has gotten unsolicited offers from her house on Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks with its spectacular views of tree-lined bluffs and its ample shoreline. But she never wanted to leave. Now she and hundreds of other neighbors wonder what will become of their homes after a federal agency declared that many structures built close to the lake may have to go. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, citing the restrictions, says they got to pull their houses up. Oh, here's another one. City fines and fees double, triple for minor and major offenses. If your grass is too tall, $1,200 a day. Well, we already have that in Austin. This is how they're going to take everything.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Last number I saw, more than a third of the American people lived in the old FEMA floodplain system. Again, why are the feds involved in deciding what a floodplain is and isn't? Oh, because they take your state tax money and send it back to you with strings attached, and they send the feds in. I'm going to cover some more of this news than go to your calls, but here it is out of the Associated Press. Missouri residents upset by order to move lake homes. And then it continues here. They always put the people into a process so they don't outright rebel. Well, we might allow you to appeal, but it's not really a real appeals process. And that will show folks a document cam shot of this. But here it is. Missouri residents upset by order to move lake homes. And it just goes on to say the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, citing restrictions on private developments around dams. Oh, around dams. It says thousands of residents' decks, patios, and boathouses appear to encroach on land belonging to the hydroelectric project in violation of federal regulations. So now they're saying that basically when your houses get up too close on your own property, still they've got some type of easement. The announcement has triggered panic in the area's lakefront communities. Don't worry, there'll be some money you can pay them. They'll leave you alone for now. and led to a growing battle among regulators, a utility company, land attorneys, and the state's congressional delegation. Officials say they are searching for a way to settle the issue without mass evictions. Oh, so some of these people live there more than 50 years on their property, but they're saying there's a regulation on these dams saying that you can't be close to the water, but it's all part of a FEMA regulatory system. Now, let's continue here, getting into this report, dealing with Rahm Emanuel, the guy who was literally just put in. We're told, okay, this mobster Daley's leaving. Here's the new mobster, and he says this is the way it is, so it is. City fines and fees double, triple for minor and major offenses. This is out of the Chicago Sun-Times. And it continues, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has said his plan to raise taxes, fines, and fees by $220 million in 2012 includes higher fines for a laundry list of offenses, but he has yet to air the laundry list. Now the mayor's 2012 revenue ordinance makes the details public, and it's a doozy. If your car is impounded for carrying drugs, drunk driving, soliciting a prostitute, or carrying a firearm registered to someone other than the driver, the penalty will double to $2,000. But if the violations occur within 500 feet of a park or school, the fine will triple to $3,000. If your car is seized for drag racing on Chicago streets, there's a new $1,000 fine in addition to the towing and storage fee. For playing a radio too loud, the new fine will be anywhere from $500 to $750. If the vehicle is snatched for driving with a suspended or revoked license or displaying altered temporary registration permits, the fine would double to $1,000. Vehicles towed after being used in unlawful attempt to flee or elude police officers would also double. Let's just say that you didn't stop quick enough, to $2,000. Now, it gets into the grass here in a minute. Tampering with parking meters or pay in display boxes, something motorists have done on occasion to vent their anger and deal with the privatized Chicago parking meters, would carry a fine of ranging to $500 to $750. The mayor isn't just throwing the book at criminals. Oh, you're a criminal now for speeding, I guess. He's also raising nuisance fees. They include allowing weeds to grow to a height that exceeds 10 inches, $600 to $1,200 a day. Again, $600 to $1,200 a day, up from $500 to $1,000. Illegal dumping or allowing trash to accumulate in a way that provides a food supply for rats, $300 to $600, up from $200, and $50 to $500. Accumulating materials or junk, and it just goes on for page after page after page. You know, I remember an article I saw like a decade ago, and every time I mention it, people don't believe me. But listeners actually sent me the newspaper out of Illinois, and I shut it on air many times on my local TV show, but read it here on the radio. That was back before we were streaming, radio / TV, streaming video. But the article mentioned a bunch of towns in Illinois where they have ordinances about occupancy for homes. And it said that inspectors come in your house without even knocking, and that the way they implement things, it's all arbitrary. If you have more toothbrushes then you have people. It's not like they come in without a warrant, which is total police state, and that's bad enough. They come in, and once they're in your house, once they're inside your home, they go into your bathroom, and if you have too many toothbrushes, they fine you on the spot, and then the towns are so mafia, the police all enforce this. And it described one elderly couple waking up and at the foot of their bed at like 6 a.m., because they like to, quote, catch you when the people are there, there was the code enforcer in front of their bed saying, you've got three toothbrushes. I think I've got like five toothbrushes, folks, because I think different types of heads do different things. My dad's a dentist, by the way. He believes the same thing. So sometimes my gums are sensitive. I use soft. I usually use hard, sometimes medium. I brush with two toothbrushes this morning. But that isn't the issue here. That isn't the issue. This is my house under English common law and under the Bill of Rights and Constitution. But a regulator is now coming into your house. I mean, this is so incredible. I even have trouble believing that I'm talking about this. That the regulator comes into your house and stands in front of your bed. And the article described like it was cute. Oh, sometimes, you know, especially older folks that still think this is America was kind of the attitude and don't know our new Soviet ways. You know, Mrs. Brown or whatever her name was cooking breakfast at 7 a.m. and was upset when the code enforcer walked right in her screen door, past her, into her bedroom to check the toothbrushes. You know, this is kind of like articles I've seen out of Tennessee where it was a local newspaper a few years ago. You've seen all over the country now where the visiting girls basketball team, it was eighth grade, because they were 12 years old on average, went into the showers after the game and came out screaming and freaking out and panicking and said, there's cameras in the shower. And the school principal and coaches said, settle down, honey. We do that for your safety. There could be crime in the showers. So it's like you go, there's dead bodies in that basement. And they go, shh, you don't understand. We're the authority figure. It's what we do. And everybody kind of settled down. Oh, the government has the cameras in the showers, which is even worse than even a random person doing it. Because this is the government. It shows the government's gone pure bad. But some parents still wouldn't be settled down. It was the Knoxville News Sentinel. I remember reporting on it. It was some town outside there. They still, is that the name of that paper? I don't remember. I remember all these cases. And they talked in the article like, well, the folks from the away team were just a little extremist and a little easy to get flustered. They just didn't understand. The cameras are in the showers for their safety. You know, it's you know what? We put sodium fluoride in your water that gives you a 7-fold increase in bone cancer. Now, yeah, there's some radioactive isotopes in there, but don't get upset. Yeah, the code inspectors come in your house. And of course, if the door happens to be locked, they then bang on it or sometimes force their way in. And see, when I happened to cover that at the time, it was like a 2-week jag of other articles being sent to me and people calling in with their horror stories around the country. In fact, we got loaded phone lines right now. But after I talked to Dee, George, Tim, Janice, and Otter, if you're in Illinois and live in the, I think it was like 10 towns at the time, and this was about 9 years ago, it was about 2002 or so. If you live in those towns and think that this is something that should be talked about, plus we have listeners who probably won't believe it, please call in and tell me the name of your town so I can remember, so that I can go pull articles on it. Because if you can't remember the name of the town, hey, guys, try to search it yourselves. Code enforcers entering houses without warrants. That should pull it up somewhere. But there it was like a real happy article. Somebody mailed me the big newspaper, and it showed the code enforcer real proud of it. And again, it was reported like it was no big deal. Like, code enforcers come into the home and barbecue your child because they deserve it. You know, they're the government. It was kind of like code enforcers just come on in, and they didn't even say without a warrant. You know, the couple woke up with the code enforcer at the foot of their bed, or Mabel was cooking eggs for her husband, George, and there was the code enforcer walking past them, and they said, what are you doing? At which time the code enforcer informed them he had a right under the city rules and laws to check that they did not have a wrong occupancy. See, this is the thing. I left Sunday. I call it a long weekend. An actual 2-day weekend for me is a long weekend. And I went out to our property in East Texas, and my dad's got some nice deer hunters out there on our property. You know, they're deer leasing it again. And I get out there, and they're real nice. But driving out, I see the game warden, you know, 5 miles away harassing people and doing something. So I called back later and found out what happened. And The game warden, and I mean, now there's like hundreds of them per region, just showed up out there and walked over to the hunters and said, what does this code on the gate mean? Like the deer hunters would know, but luckily they did. They said, well, that's the lease number here. And where are the logs? Net felt logs. Give them your driver's license, have it scanned to make sure you're not a criminal or that you've paid all your taxes now. And then men in uniform show up, and the gate was open, but they'll cross gates. And because they claim they don't need warrants. See, everything's a privilege now because they say so. And by the way, they're now saying guns are a privilege again. And cops will go with that. It's now a privilege. I'm taking them. It's not a privilege, but see, they say so. And so there's another bunkhouse out there. And they just went ahead and walked on in there because that's how America works. You are a criminal. You are scum. You are trash. You are filth. The TSA is going to grope your one-year-old son or daughter. They're going to grab your wife's breast and maybe give her a note about, baby, I want to have a good time with you. You know, there's a woman up in Amarillo. On record, they grabbed her breast and laughed and asked her for a date. I mean, this is how America runs now. And they're hiring every knuckle-dragon person who couldn't get a job carrying garbage as toilet attendants to mind your life. Who else would take these jobs? Control freaks, tough guys. They're real tough guys. That's what this is all about. You can't get away from government. You can't go hide in Alaska. You can't go hide under a bridge. You cannot get away from these people. You can't go to the woods. You can't go to a third world country. You cannot get away from them. Read the Declaration of Independence. He has created all these agencies and sent forth swarms of agents to eat out our substance. And then we made phone calls and found out at the ranch down the road, I remember driving down there, Friday evening, it was about to get dark. I remember seeing RV parked there and all those little kids running around and old folks. You could tell, and by the way, my dad knows that family. It's a big old ranch. Family came to visit. And it doesn't matter if you've got your license, you got to fill out all your logs and everything, or they take everything you've got and take your guns. Listen, he's dead now, so he's beyond their grasp, but my great uncle died of pancreatic cancer last year, and about a year before that, he wanted to go deer hunting one last time. And so he goes out there, and we weren't allowing deer leases then at that time, just family. And he shoots a deer, and then my uncle, you know, they field got it right there. But then my uncle says, don't worry, along with my dad, we'll drive this into town and get turned into sausage and steaks for you. We'll just have the processor do it. And they said, okay. So they drive into Fairfield. And this state police jumps out, pulls him over, has his hand on his gun. Get back in your car. Get back. Get back. Get back. Get back right now. And they're like, what's going on? Because they see the leg sticking out. And he goes, because these are American scum. These are Al-Qaeda. These are enemies. These are people to be taught they're scum and trash and filth and garbage. So the foreign banks can fully suck everything out, including that state police officer's mother and grandma's pensions. And he'll still love them. And they're like, what in the world is going on here? And he's like, well, you're transporting a deer, and get up against the car. And then he goes, I've got you. I'm calling back up. You're going to jail. This name on the tag doesn't match the one. And, of course, they said, well, that's fine. You go ahead and get your buddies over here and get the game warden over here. Landowners can transport the deer. But it doesn't matter. They're just going to make more rules till they get you. And he's like, you shut up. You shut up. That's not true. And the game warden gets there and goes, oh, hi. Oh, I knew your daddy. Oh, yeah. It's all right, Bob. Yes, they're allowed to transport it. But then the state police guy insisted on digging through more, trying to find something. I mean, I won't even go hunting because of these people. I don't even want to be around it. I mean, and again, that's their goal. Just like the animal ID, the premises ID, all of it. You know, there's a guy dying of pancreatic cancer back at the deer camp. He wants to go deer hunting before he dies. They drive in the deer to get it turned into sausage, and that's a crime in America. I saw a report last week where a guy had a deer and was gutting it in like a condo-type apartment complex, and the police came and said, you're disrupting the peace, and arrested him. Because, again, to totally domesticated people, you know, some redneck moves into the edge of town, gets a duplex, is gutting a deer in their doorway, because they're just a hillbilly, you know, person. And the general public thinks it's some animal sacrifice or something. They're eating food all day. They'll eat chickens raised in a concentration camp, never seen a light of day, with their feet grown into the slats beneath them. That's not a crime. But actually killing and butchering your own deer, that's a crime. And again, it's because we are scum. We are trash. I first got involved when I was first on air. We got to find these videos. I'm going to post it. Some of them are. I noticed a pattern. As soon as somebody had a heart attack or was dying of cancer and was in the hospital, They had maps of it. And it was always a local realtor that would report it as some sweetheart deal to get the property. And I did literally more than 20 cases where I covered this and didn't find out until about the 15th it was part of a city scam. They have special units of police that are part of it and stuff the average cops don't know. And they know when somebody's dying of cancer or just had a heart attack that in a week or two the grass grows above 3 inches is what they say objectionable grass length is in Austin. And it is $2,000 a day fines. In Austin, you think it's bad under Rahm Emanuel, $1,200 for 10-inch grass. Here in Austin, it's $2,000 for whatever they say is objectionable. And I kept wondering why it was always old people. They've got special units. Again, the average cops don't know about this. It's all about the criminal compartmentalization. At least they had this 15 years ago, back when I was battling it locally. And they go out and then take the house, sell it off to select insiders, and then throw the old person in one of their FEMA camp nursing homes.
You take a mortal man.
You put him in control.
And put him in control.
You watch him become a power-tripping god.
Watch him become a god.
Watch people's heads a roll. Roll.
Watch heads a roll.
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 Yeah, I talked to Dave this morning.
Roll.
He gave me a little message letting him know he was jumping on an airplane for a South American tour. We probably end up getting him in studio in December if he comes to town like he wants to. He's certainly welcome to. So come on, Dave. Swing to the symphony of destruction. That's what you want. That's what you get. I want to go to George and Tim and Dee and Janice and Otter and everybody. I'll get to you. In fact, I'll basically take nothing but calls until our guest joins us, and he's with us about 30 minutes, then we'll continue there. Local Dallas financial host. He's got quite a bio. We'll go over some of that with him. Get his take on what's happening over in Europe right now. A couple program notes. A lot of you couldn't watch the 27-hour video version of the Money Bomb we did from Thursday into Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. the next day. We even went a little bit past 2 p.m., Well, we're still restreaming it and have it posted in parts at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can still go to InfoWars.com, and the whole top of the site is a banner to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com if you want to be able to see that rebroadcast or any part of it. Because some of the most informative guests with really a lot of amazing information were in the middle of the night, in the early morning, including that Skull and Bones special. Never before revealed information with Charlotte Iserby, whose father and grandfather were members of Skull and Bones, probably the most elite organization in North America. Well, no doubt in North America, up there in the world. In fact, it's the U.S. branch of the Illuminati. A lot of breaking info, never before really covered, how it tied into modern education and psychology. And that is up at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I want to thank all the listeners that supported us. It's going to allow us to hire more crew, to get more news reports out, more news articles, more powerful reports on the nightly news, because we are one string deep, to use a football analogy here, and it is really starting to weigh on myself and others. So now we're going to be able to get another line there on the bench, so we have some depth, as they say, at least on the TV side. The radio guys tell me they love it, being only one deep. So that's great. As long as they like it, they can do it. We really appreciate all your support out there. People are still donating. You know, I normally promote a money bomb about a month out. This time I did it 15 days out. And I think after all the mail order comes in, mail order means to people ordering stuff by mail. After all the mail comes in, other donations that are coming in, I think we'll hit about $400,000, which is one of the best money bombs we've ever done. You can still donate there at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. But we also had a lot of people buy books and videos and materials, which we counted those sales towards the money bomb. And there's a lot of specials we're running right now that I can't really say actually do support us. It's just about getting the word out. We're selling all the different bumper sticker packages at cost. They're at cost. Now, we cut that massively down to nothing. This is, I'm going to get the word out. I'm all in here in the fight. And we also cut the price of Ventura's book, 63 Docs. The book, great book, Big Brother Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. Both those books, $9.95. And it's so popular, the deal's probably going to end in a couple days. I mean, they're racing out at that price. By the way, we don't make any money at that. I don't care anymore. I just feel in my gut we need to pump all the info out we can now. We've got all my films, what is that, that are on DVD, like 14 of them for $99.95, normally $360. The Alex Jones Everything Special, $99 right now. Infowars.com. Your call's coming up. Stay with us.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're into hour number two. I've gotten into the fact that Israel is now about 98% official that they're going to hit Iran. I haven't even gotten into the economic news. We've got a guest coming up in 30 minutes. Italy, too big to fail, too big to save. Why should you care? They're saying the U.S. is going to pay, just like last time, for half of this, because the U.S. is controlled by the same mega banks that run Europe. So that's all coming up. Got a bunch of political news. Yes, I'll give you my take on Herman Cain and another accuser and Gloria Allred and all this garbage. I'll get to some of that. But right now, let's go to George in Pennsylvania. You're on the air. Go ahead, George.
Thank you for all your work that you do for all of us. I would like to bring up some news that you covered about 4 years ago in New Hampshire. There were a lot of people that said that their whole family voted for Ron Paul, but they recorded zero votes. I wonder if we might have some sort of registry someplace of people who want their vote counted and want to make sure it counts. There's only 10 counties in New Hampshire. It would seem like if we had a preemptive strike against the county election officials, you know, everything on deck, ready to go, can verify that people actually voted for him, that we might stave off their fixing of the ballot boxes.
Well, and here's the issue. It did come out that they cheated Ron Paul in New Hampshire. But Ron Paul, then, if he comes out and attacks that, it looks like he's a sore loser, A. Then B, then during the election in other primaries, why should people vote for him if it's going to be fixed? Well, the answer is they have trouble fixing landslides, A. And B, it reveals the corruption by going and voting. But yeah, no, I mean, we've got a government that takes babies' blood at birth and then got caught lying about it for a DNA database. We've got a government that says they want to drug the entire population. We have a criminal, kleptocratic government. And Ron Paul undoubtedly, in, what was it, four counties clearly won, and they cheated him. In fact, they didn't just cheat him. They drove his numbers way down to where they didn't even match the poll numbers. And they are scared of Ron Paul. But again, by him running, this is what convinced Ron Paul to run last time and this time. And it may convince him to run third party if he doesn't win the nomination. And that's because He knows he wins by injecting real issues about the Federal Reserve, about the New World Order. So even if they steal elections, we know it's not the puppet politicians they put in that are running things. It's the banksters. And once that part of the equation is understood by the general public, which is starting to happen, it's game over. The New World Order must hide itself. It can't operate in the open. Go ahead.
Would you consider sponsoring a registry of people that would attest that they had voted for him to supply documentation for somebody that might want to take this into legal matters? And that would not be on Ron Paul's shoulder that way?
Yeah, here's the issue. Ron Paul will probably raise $40 million this election cycle or something close to it. And Ron Paul would tell you, legal challenges, people on the ground, how do you, I mean, we're a group operating on a fraction of that, and I can barely, you know, get basic stuff, you know, completed because we've got a lot of irons in the fire. But yes, people, citizens need to be watching. The Paul campaign does need to deploy in New Hampshire more poll watchers doing exit polls, especially in those counties that cheated him last time. That's absolutely essential, yes.
All right, thank you.
I mean, do you have any ideas? I mean, what should we do?
I think if there was a registry that was promoted where people could put their vote down, there's only 10 counties, and, you know, we could... if you had a support page for that, where people wanted to donate to that cause, I think you'd get a terrific amount of support to help.
Yeah, I just don't know if computer-wise I could even get that done. I mean, that's really where I'm at. But people should send me info on it and try to create a logistical idea. That's a great idea. We've got to start catching these fraudsters at some point. They kill us with all the bureaucracy. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, folks, we are now into hour number two, continuing with your calls. The last caller I talked to raised the point that we need in New Hampshire to have poll watchers, because last time in at least four of the 10 counties, Ron Paul overwhelmingly won, according to the exit polls, but then overwhelmingly lost. And there was a lot of reports of fraud. So the caller was saying, why not create a database where people opt into it and register on record that they did this so we can show the fraud this time? Then some people say, well, you're showing a mixed message. If there's election fraud, why then should we be involved in elections? To show there's fraud? To have our issues injected into the debate? I mean, that's the main reason. We can't just give up. We have to keep engaging. There's not fraud in every county, but there is in more than about 40% of the nation. That's why government doesn't care. That's why they're so arrogant. I was watching PSYOP films that were classified in the 60s but released in the last decade, and it was all about when a U.S.-backed nation occupies and has martial law, they need to be respectful and get the people on their side and actually try to help them, or they'll lose. But see, they don't care anymore. They want you to know you're a piece of garbage. They want to demoralize you. They know Congress has a 9% approval rating. And so they're like, okay, you know, you know we're crooks? You're right, we are. You're not going to beat us. We're taking your tax money and arming to the teeth against you and surveilling. And we're going to stage events and blame it on foreign enemies. You got that? And that's what they're doing. And if you want America to turn around, you got to wake up to that. I mean, earlier, it tears my guts out all over the country. They go to mainly old folks' houses who've got, you know, 3-4-inch grass and give them giant fines. And I just think about how all these crooks in government can steal trillions of dollars, ship cocaine into the country, weapons out of the country, opium into the country, all publicly, every crime under the sun you can imagine. But then it's all about lecturing the general public how we're criminals and how we can't trust anybody but Big Brother and Big Sis and telescreens everywhere. And coming up, I guess, on Wednesday, at the start of the third hour, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central, they're going to do an EAS alert takeover drill. So I guess on our AM and FM stations, doesn't matter. You're not going to just do some drill for the test of the takeover. They're going to take over and have some announcement for you. Again, they've always had these with the station, getting the tone and going over to it themselves. You're not trusted. See, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, Americans could be trusted by the loving military-industrial complex to, when you got the EAS system and it told you to broadcast it over air, it would give you a warning a few minutes before, sometimes an hour before, several warnings leading up to it, and then you would dial over at that time and the feds would practice the takeover of your station. But now they're saying, we're removing you, good little slave. We've just done all this dog training to make sure that when we tell you, you do the test and our computer registers that. Now we don't need you, little man. And they're announcing publicly what they told broadcaster associations 16 years ago. Oh, I talked to folks in the Texas Association of Broadcasters. I talked to station owners. I talked to engineers. I talked to an engineer who was the head of the Engineer Society here in the state. And they were told in meetings, because it's for America, you understand, that what do you think about, because the government wants to do this, we're going to break in every day with announcements, just public service announcements. We'll have allotted blocks where you don't have to play those anymore. We'll play them for you, and we'll do some live programming, and then sometimes we'll just take over. That'll be part of your license. But see, they weren't ready yet. They hadn't staged 9/11 yet. And see, now, notice it never goes away. The new restrictions always only get worse. It never goes away. Always more, 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 more. And it's all about you and your family being good little slaves. Let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim in Washington. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. Welcome.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering, what's the relationship between Fidelity Investments and the Federal Reserve? I've got some other questions as well.
When we talk about the six big mega banks, they all then have major investments. They're the shareholders of the Federal Reserve. But they've got other business deals and agreements with other combines that are heavily owned by insurance companies themselves owned by the Federal Reserve shareholders. So it's all interlocking directorates, and Fidelity is heavily involved from my research and other researchers we've had on in the Federal Reserve.
Right. So in a sense, the Occupy Wall Street people should be investigating who they should be occupying and just walk right down to Fidelity Investments on 6th and Pine in downtown Seattle, Washington, and show them what's up. Because ultimately, that's the head of the snake, I would assume. You know, if Fidelity Investments gets occupied, then eventually people start taking these occupiers seriously. Because right now, the Occupy Seattle people are in the bar district. They've been taken out of the financial market area without actually having any success. That's basically my point. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up right now, but we talked about this last year. We talked about it earlier this year. We talked about it a few months ago, saying that the different embassies are moving out of dollars and stockpiling a spectrum of currencies. But now they've got this movement to pull your money out. And they reported that millions of dollars total in Austin last week alone, the paper reported, got pulled out of one of the big mega banks, $400,000. And November 5th was the first day. But now they've got one coming up later in the month pull your money out of the big mega bank. And strangely enough, they've actually picked the right banks. Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, I know it's an investment bank, but it has some places where people have got money. They're pulling their investments out of that. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank. But later in the month, in fact, I forget the date. Normally I'd know it, but camping out with the kids, I didn't get much sleep either night. One of them was sick one night, another had a toothache the next night. So didn't get any sleep Friday. Didn't get any sleep Saturday. Didn't get any sleep Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I got 10 hours last night. And I don't feel bad. It's just my memory isn't there. I'm like reaching for info, and it's like, not there, not there. But, and I guess there's no rest for the wicked, as they say, because I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM tonight with George Norrie for 3 hours. So, all right, let's go back to your phone calls here. Very interesting point by that caller. I'm glad he called in. Yeah, again, it's not that I'm against the Occupy Wall Street people. There are a lot of good people involved in it. It's that the people that get the media attention from the demonstrators are calling for higher taxes on the middle class. And that is not going to get the economy going. Let's go ahead. I'm even wary of a financial tax on stock market transactions or financial institutions, because you know by the time they actually pass it, it's going to be on the general public. You know that, I mean, that's how this always ends. I mean, I was told by really smart people 16 years ago, because I had a guy on the air promoting the fair tax, the 25% flat, no other federal taxes. And I had a lot of people contact me and say, Alex, the plan has always been, and they showed me evidence, to get everybody sick of the income tax and then bring in a national sales tax and a VAT and just keep the income tax. And now that's what Herman Cain's saying do. And so I've just learned all their tricks. I've learned, you know, they say they're going to give you one thing, they give you another. And the only reason we're even reaching so many people is because of you. I just want to thank all of you. I'm not on air, I think about how thankful I am to all. I saw an article out of Iowa about the big speeches that were given this weekend at a candidate forum. Rick Perry, Ron Paul were there. And it said the first woman to get in the door at 6 o'clock, an hour before it kicked off, was reading her Bible. Said she was a young lady reading her Bible, and she had an Infowars.com black bracelet around her arm, around her wrist. And that, in fact, I think I even tried to send that article to Jaron. I don't know. I'm sure he put it in my stack. I don't see it, though. Maybe I didn't send it. It doesn't matter anymore. The point is that she said, I just wanted to see Ron Paul for myself, and I appreciate him because he's been steadfast and has never wavered in his positions, and I just wanted to see him in person. And she said some other nice things, but the fact is that she's out there and she cares about this country, and I'm going to be honest, I don't feel worthy to be so prominent and to have so many of you looking up to me and so many children that send me postcards and that tell me thank you for what I do, and children that send me little drawings, and kids that send me a book and ask me to sign it. It just touches my heart, and then I get so angry at myself. Like, I'm going to apologize on air, and I've probably done this 5-6 times over the years, but I've got to stop it, and I've got to learn more self-control. I'd only been broadcasting for about 10 hours when it happened. And I wasn't even really broadcasting. It was internet, so it wasn't an issue for AM and FM stations. Because if it was, they would have delayed it. You know, the network's sitting there by the button the whole time anyways. But when I learned that Jesse Ventura had his case thrown out, I called Janet Napolitano a sack of you-know-what. Because he'd called me while Alfred Adask was talking, and I took the call and Alfred run for a while and told me what had happened to him. And he was very upset. And I just thought of the Janet Napolitano, the thugs, the end of the Fourth Amendment, the domestic checkpoints. And I just didn't have words to describe. And I was mad. And I went on air and used the SHIT word. Not that it's that big a deal for adults. But I know even at 11 o'clock at night, children were probably listening. You know, I know for some reason my son was still up when that happened and heard it. And it's just not good. I know I've got a big responsibility and I'm going to step up to the plate. But pray for me. I'm weak and I get angry. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I get frustrated. I get disgusted. When I get angry up here, it's failure. It's anger. It's disgust. I mean, I know this is tyranny. I've read all the globalist documents. I know they're poisoning us. Every time I see some kid dying of cancer, I get mad. I know the numbers are off the chart. I take it personal. I don't like it. I don't like the fact I can't go anywhere and not be around government bureaucrats and cops in my business. I'm tired of it. And then they legalize the illegal aliens and allow felons who are aggravated felons to be released. I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. I want my freedom back. I want it right now. And I know there's so many competent, smart, intelligent men out there. I run into them all the time who are smarter than I am, stronger than I am, better spoken than I am, and they're all good at working in the system and kissing the system's rump to climb the ladder. And folks, that's what's destroying our country, is the slickness with which they package all these lies. And how many good people they've got working for the corrupt system, rationalizing what you're doing. Our society is going down. Janice in Texas, then Otter, Den, and others. D and others. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Sorry, my blood's boiling. I've really kind of worked up today. I'm calling to tell you about this criminal who's running wild in government and has been for a really long time. But first, I wanted to just comment on what you were saying about FEMA. My mom is part of the FEMA relocation program, and they ordered her off her land, plowed down the house. You can't even take the refrigerator. Boom, gone. No fair market value. Just here's the what we think you know, should get.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's the other point. People always say, we've always had adverse possession. If it was passed by the county or the state by law, and then you had to pay whatever they wanted. Now, they've sent our family letters saying, we may take your property, and we'll take it for whatever we think it's worth, and it's come out, they'll pay about 10% of what it's worth. I'm sorry, true. Go ahead.
It's everything you say is true. So if anybody thinks you're kidding, FEMA does not get around.
Notice when it's property taxes, it's always way. Here's an example. I have family bought a house 16 years ago in Austin for $140,000 with a couple acres on it in Austin. Now, they now tell them the house is worth a couple million because of the land, even though it's not zoned where they could use it properly. They don't want to sell it, and the property taxes every year are more on what they pay every month. And by the way, the house is almost paid off because you don't really own your land anymore. It's feudal rent. We didn't have property taxes till 55 years ago. I mean, it's there's never an end. I'm sorry, ma'am. Tell us the story. I'm going to try to shut up.
Okay. Okay. So I just bear with me because I've got three examples. One is in I just reviewed Jesse Ventura's episode of the Plum Island facility and the moving it to Kansas. Anyway, this person in the government that I'm talking about is the head of the Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius. You can find it on C-SPAN. I mean, if you like look on C-SPAN, you'd probably find a million more things than I found. But after the passage of Obamacare, she's giving a speech with her buddies from the FDA, and she openly brags. She says, I have been lobbying FEMA since the Clinton administration to get on board with my agenda, and they kept throwing up their hands at me going, look, lady, we only do floods. And I kept on, and I kept on, and now they are on board with me, and I have boots on the ground. So she is, like, openly bragging.
No. I have an article today where they admit they're getting ready for nationwide forced inoculations. It's now in the regulations, which aren't based in law. I'm telling you, folks, they just announced they're going to start injecting kids without parental consent in California. The government's criminal. We're right. All in danger, people.
And then at an appropriations committee that you can also find on C-SPAN, she is asking Tom Harkin. She even freaks out the really evil people. I mean, she's so evil. She was asking for money to build threat fusion centers that are health threat fusion centers all over America that make vaccines on the spot, snatch and grab if we think you're sick, put you in them and shoot you up with whatever.
I know. And you know what? Here's the problem. I saw that a year ago. Never even got to it on air. I mentioned it. It's the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. Do me a favor. Send, because you can usually search the date and the name now. Everything's searchable on C-SPAN video. It's incredible. Give me the date and the time of that, and I'll get one of the Watsons or somebody to do a report on it, because people need to know. These threat fusion centers, they've said, they admit, TSA, all of this is about getting you trained to have them put their hands on you. That's why they have federal grants for blood draws. That's getting cops ready for forced inoculation. They're just getting them trained to do medical stuff on DWI. My guest is coming up, but I'm going to go back to you after we talk to him. Some of you can hold on, Janice, because you know what you're talking about. But send it to showtips@infowars.com.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, listen, Janice, Frank, Tim, Matt, Otter. In fact, it'll be Otter, Janice, then Otter, and then Tim and others that have been holding the longest. We're going to get to you. Open phones during the next hour. If our guest wants to stay with us a little bit then and take calls, he's certainly welcome. You know, I do a lot of radio interviews, but less than I used to because I do the nightly news now, and I'm doing Coast to Coast AM tonight. Love doing that, but I'll be up all night. So I don't do as many as I used to, but I've enjoyed going on Dan Kofall's show a couple times. Up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 1190 AM. He's during prime time up there covering the economy every day when the stock market closes 4 to 6 p.m. The WallStreetShuffle.com is his website. And I was thinking about getting him on as just a guest to give his perspective on Ron Paul and stuff a few weeks ago. And then I happened to look at his bio, and he's on the committee of foreign relations for Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is like a spinoff subgroup of the Council on Foreign Relations. And I know he's developed a bunch of different data and intelligence systems that are actually used by the government. So I thought, get this guy on, because he's a Ron Paul supporter, at least from what I've heard on the show. He's critical of what the Federal Reserve's doing, and he seems extremely informed. And then I was reading his bio, and see, I'm not stupid. I know that the CFR now is up to about 4,000 members. And then in key cities like Dallas, Chicago, Illinois, New York, they will have these committees on the Council of Foreign Relations that are kind of like the, in baseball, they have the teams that are under them, you know, the farming teams that basically try to keep an eye on movers and shakers in the regional area. And so I would guess that's what's happening here. You know, some people say, Angelina Jolie, she must be evil, she must be bad. That remains to be seen. Joining the Council on Foreign Relations, is she doing it to try to learn about the global elite? Is she doing it so she can try to get leverage and help people? I don't know. I happen to know Brad Pitt has shown a major interest in fighting the New World Order privately, spoken out against it privately with some people I know, and doesn't like it, he says. But who knows? You know, the point is that not everyone in the CFR is evil and corrupt. Now, if you're in the Trilateral Commission, you're a world government globalist. The CFR leadership is made up of Bilderberg, Skull and Bones, Trilateral Commission people. The CFR is the U.S. version of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, or what the British Empire called roundtable groups, where they would pull out of a country that they publicly dominated, but still have their financial interests there working through kind of the good old boys club. And anybody who's been in business knows it's good to get into clubs for your business that are powerful because of the opportunities. That's what most of, quote, business is these days, now more than ever. So I'm not getting off into a big distraction with Dan. It's just that I thought that was interesting. I thought I'd get his perspective on being part of the committee on foreign relations, which is a regional subgroup of the Council on Foreign Relations, before we get into all the amazing things he's done, because he's certainly a smart guy, and I want to get his perspective on what's happening in Europe, what's happening with the Federal Reserve, where he sees this country going. You know, talking to really millions of people every day. It's one of the top stations there in Dallas, 1190 AM. It's known as CNN Radio up there. Good to have you with us, Dan.
Like I say, it's great to be on the show, brother. I certainly enjoyed seeing you in Dallas. That was a terrific organization, terrific group you put together.
Well, it was great seeing you. You know, what's your view of protesting the Federal Reserve instead of just protesting, quote, the free market system? And what did you think of the Federal Reserve coming out and endorsing Occupy Wall Street?
Well, let me tell you something. But the one thing you did that was so much fun was when you panned over to a picture at the Federal Reserve, said, "This is private property." I thought that was one of the funniest, coolest things you could have possibly done. I'm no fan of the Federal Reserve, and I think protesting the Federal Reserve is legitimate. I think these folks that are in the street now protest Wall Street and occupy this and occupy that. They're idiots. They have absolutely no idea from where they come. Their position is interesting, but they're not being led by anybody. They're being pushed from some people from behind. And I think there's plenty of reason to take the positions you do and I do, which is to object to a lot of the things the Federal Reserve does. The Treasury could do everything the Federal Reserve does if they wanted to. That could happen in a minute. So to answer your question on the protesters, I think the protesters are idiots. They have no idea what they're protesting about. If they ever did get a clue, they might actually be able to make a little bit of progress against the Federal Reserve.
Well, why do you think we've seen so many high-powered globalist top CFR people, Bernanke, Obama, Hillary, Pelosi, the list is legion, come out and endorse Occupy Wall Street? Because clearly, the group that's getting the attention out of Occupy are folks saying, redistribute wealth, give me something free. They're not addressing the banker bailouts, crony capitalism. They're saying capitalism, period, is bad. And a lot of them are being very supportive of Mao Zedong and things like that. And I've also noticed we got criticized because I talked to folks in Dallas that listened to you, and they said the same thing happened there for saying the Democrats were behind this. Now they admit Acorn. Now they admit George Soros from day one was there trying to control Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, you bet, and it's the reformulated Acorn that is following these folks and helping promote them. Same thing, and let's get right to the bottom of the barrel. You've got socialists, you've got communists, you've got the labor unions, and you've got the revised Acorn. And the funny thing is, Alex, if this was a real movement, there would be people out in front leading. There was nobody leading. There was no message. There's no coherent. There wasn't one person saying, "Come follow me, boys. I've got the right answer." It was people from behind pushing these dolts into the street. And that's the surest sign of Tea Party. There were people that walked right in front of the Tea Party and said, follow me, I want to reduce government, I want to reduce taxes. It was clear what they were doing. These people are being pushed, and you asked me a minute ago what I think the reason is. I think the folks that are endorsing the Occupy Wall Street folks, they want insurrection. They want Americans fighting Americans. They want unrest in the street. They want Americans to stand up and say, please, big government, control this, give me more control, come in and take more control of the country and exercise your power. There's just too much unrest, too much Americans fighting Americans. The only thing that's going to let Americans say it's okay to come in and provide more military control, more police control, more of a police state is if Americans ask for it. If you force it on them, they're going to fight it. If they ask for it, they'll take it.
And if we've got a bunch of people whose welfare checks still come in the mail, or their card still works, it just won't buy what it would before because of currency devaluation and inflation. If they start rioting all over the country and basically have the president endorsing it, that is pure class warfare, and that is a form of false flag staged event.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. I've been listening to your show for a long time. We've been on the air almost 5 years, and we've had to couch our remarks. We never said to expect rioting in the streets. We said that the U.S. is wargaming urban conflict. We said that, once people don't get their welfare checks or their food stamps or their transfer payments or whatever, people will go out into the street to protest. What we've really been trying to say, without using the words, is that you are going to see insurrection in the streets, and you're seeing it now. And I think the left demands that and has to have that to add to their legitimacy. If things are not tumultuous and America's not fighting America, then how do you declare martial law?
Exactly. Instead of identifying the big mega banks that have gotten tens of trillions of dollars, MSNBC that got part of the bailout money, my tax money, your tax money, we have higher taxes in this country, if you add them all together, than we've ever had. And it's killing the country, and these poor fools don't know why they can't get a job when they get out of college. A, it's a bubble. It costs too much. B, they didn't take the right course load. And then, of course, C, globalism and having regulations here that shut down our industry and tax incentives to move offshore, that's why they're not getting a job. What's your take on that?
You couldn't be more right. I have the pleasure of sitting on an advisory board at the University of North Texas, and these guys get it up here. They get the fact that education has, the reason you're having such increases in education costs is because you got the federal government involved. You've got subsidies. It's the next huge bubble to hit because the reason that you had the problem in real estate because the government was forcing people, forcing banks to make loans they didn't want to make to people that didn't deserve them. Now you've got students that say, oh, I can borrow $100,000, I can borrow $50,000, I can borrow $200,000. They owe the money back. They can't get rid of it in bankruptcy. And so you're seeing the next bubble that's forming right now, and that's what's driving the cost of education. And make matters worse, universities not good universities, but universities have had to create titles and curriculum and something in order to justify bringing these kids on board and running all these kids through a program that offers them no future. So I think you're right on the money, and I think that education is the next bubble that's about to that will burst, especially now that you've got Obama saying we don't really have to pay it all back. You know, just pay us for 20 years, and at the end of 20 years, if you haven't paid us back, well, that's okay. We'll write it off. Well, you can't write that stuff off. It's owed to the people, it's to the citizens of America, or to the banks that made the loan.
And by the way, every time we talk about this, people mischaracterize what we're saying. Oh, you're against education. No, if it's the right degree for the right specialty area and you really want to go get that degree and you have what it takes to be an engineer or to be a rocket scientist or to be a doctor or to be a dentist or to be a physicist or whatever the case is, then you're going to do well. You need that degree. But just all these millions of people that have got degrees in English or French or whatever, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just you're going to pay $150,000 for an English degree so you can go get $35,000 a year as an English teacher?
Well, you know, Alex, it's that, and it's even worse. Some of these, what used to be considered trade schools, people are paying huge education dollars to be qualified for a job that they could have been qualified for anyway just by joining the company. You're paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to learn a trade, and you're not relating that value to what you're going to earn back, and you're not learning. You're not relating to that you could have gotten the job anyway and learned on the job. So lots of these trade school-ish universities, these private education companies, are really, really going to be to start to suffer here pretty soon.
And by the way, nobody tells these college kids what job is really going to get them a job when they get out of college. I mean, people all know that you know there was a lack of nurses, so you know that's been an area that needed to be filled, but soon that'll be a bubble. But no one tells them all these guys that have electrical engineering degrees, they've been replaced with folks in India, China, you name it. But people that went to just normal computer programming school, yep, if they had skills, if they're hardworking, they're the people now making $100,000-$200,000 a year on a trade school degree, because all the corporations care and all the government cares and businesses care is that you get the job done.
Yep, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And you're seeing $1 trillion worth of student loan debt floating around out there. That may not be the $6 or $7 or $8 trillion worth of mortgages that were out in the marketplace insured by the federal government, but that's still a big number.
Now I want to get into Ron Paul with you. I mean, obviously, I'm happy to see Herman Cain criticized for issues, yep, like wanting to bring in a whole new taxing system on top of the income tax. But this Gloria Allred thing, all these attacks on him, it does stink of a Democratic Party operation. I mean, look at Bill Clinton, who paid women off who alleged that he raped them. And the feminists all thought that was great. But now this Herman Cain thing more and more does look like some type of high-tech lynching. And I want Ron Paul to climb over him, but not so much if it's over his political, you know, dead body. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a Herman Cain, either a supporter or a detractor, but I do think this is a manufactured situation. And no better proof of this than Gloria Allred showing up with this third or fourth or however many unnamed women so far. And you know, I have to say, Alex, and this, I hope this may not be the most politically correct thing to say, but this is 20 years ago. And the very idea that somebody could be offended by a hand gesture or by a simple word or something like that, guys have been putting up with this for a long darn time. Somebody needs to just say, we need to quit being a nation full of wimps. If somebody offends you, tell them they offend you and turn around and walk away. If somebody affects your career, that's an entirely different situation. Nobody here is accusing Herman Cain of affecting anybody's career or lording over them or doing anything sexually inappropriate. It's gestures and innuendos. And it was 20 years ago. They need to get over this.
Well, they should have gone public earlier. You know, my issue is, if somebody says, have sex with me or I'm not going to give you this promotion, that's trying to force them basically into prostitution.
Yep.
And that, you know, that is criminal. That's extortion. But this whole thing of women dressing very sexual creatures, and then somebody makes a comment or they distort the comment and they leap on it like, oh, they've got some little special goody to use leverage over you now. I want to tell women something. All this is done in a lot of businesses and operations is cause people to not hire attractive women.
Well, and that's right. And also hire part-time people, so you're not exposed to that. And I know this is an incredibly politically insensitive conversation we're having, but you know, you want to say enough is enough. If there are real damages, then sue. Sue and be compensated. That's what our legal system is for, because your sensibilities were slightly offended, because you're going to all of a sudden translate that into being a hostile workplace because some one person makes an inappropriate comment. Go have a discussion with human resources, have the issue, make the issue go away, get an apology, and move on. Somebody does it again, then litigate if you want to, but we need to quit being looking for the next attorney to handle our million-dollar case because somebody offended
well,
us.
Well, look, billboards in America. All I see now is government billboards bossing us around like 1984 and lawyer billboards. And I'm not saying there isn't a need for a lawyer sometime, but come on. America now is known for lawyer billboards everywhere for this or that, and that's another reason our society's collapsing.
No doubt about it. We are, honest to goodness, we used to resolve our issues face-to-face and move on with it. Now we look at every potential event in our life as, can I sue? Oh, I got hit from behind in my car. Can I sue for my neck or my back? Oh, somebody said a bad word in the office. Can I sue for a hostile work environment? Good heavens. It's beyond ridiculous. And I got to tell you, we always used to joke about it being 1984, Alex. If it doesn't feel like 1984 each and every day, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Every day, it gets worse and worse and worse. Every day.
You know, I ought to make a bumper sticker. Does it feel like 1984 yet? Or is 1984 over yet?
Well, hey, I'll give you a really good example. I'm a little bit off of our topic for a minute, but I think you'll enjoy this. My business partner is a huge soccer fan. He was traveling from the Northwest into Canada for a professional soccer event. He took the train. And, you know, as you're leaving the country, you get searched and normal stuff. You're in Canada, you get searched. Here's where, I don't know if you've heard this or not, Alex, this is right up your alley. When my partner was coming back into the country, they were on the train. The train was about 30 miles outside of the United States border, and they had three, and what my partner thought would have been border patrol guards, ICE agents, whatever. They were dressed in black, pants tucked into their boots. They completely said, stay in your seats. You have to turn off every device that you've got. You've got to face forward, have your passport out, hold your passport up. You cannot leave your seat. You cannot travel from car to car. You cannot use the restroom. They locked the restrooms, locked the doors going from car to car. And they would go. The three of them would walk up and down the aisle. Said, "If need be, we'll bring in dogs. We'll bring in this." They were armed, and they were. You couldn't take any pictures. You couldn't record the event. Now, my partner is one of the most mild men in the entire world, and he was so offended. He grew up as an army brat in Germany. And when this happened, he said it so reminded him of having to travel through East Germany. This is what our country is beginning to, is coming to.
Oh, they now have Viper teams, TSA, all over the country doing this. And they actually board your car, board your bus in Tennessee, you name it. And literally the groping starts right there. It's like, get your daughter out. Okay, I want to go back to our guest, and he's talking about his business partner and their company, who is a Council on Foreign Relations member. So this is the establishment guys that the system sees as important enough to be part of this organization, and he's coming back into the U.S., and again, just like East Germany, they come on, they say, look forward, get your passports out, anybody gives us trouble, we'll take you off and lose you for a couple hours, we'll basically note something on your passport. And the only thing they didn't do, like East Germany, was, I guess, close the lampshades. But if you type into Google Viper teams at bus stations or Viper highway checkpoint, this is what it is now. And it's all about training you. And earlier, Jaron found articles where they're now going in people's houses without warrants, police departments. So this is the process of fully destroying the Bill of Rights and Constitution. And you can fast forward to about a minute five into that video, and you'll see TSA agents commanding the whole thing, which is also a federal takeover of local police. We're going to go into the next hour with our guest, but we'll also open the phones up for all you that are patiently holding. I want to get to you, so thank you for joining us. Going back to Dan Kofall. Dan, finish your story. Start from the beginning. He's going up to watch his favorite sports team.
Yep.
He's coming back. He left the country. He's come back in. And now they come on and they talk to you like you're a prisoner. Please continue.
Yeah, they, in fact, like I said, my partner's one of the most mild-mannered people you'd ever want to know. He's just a sports fan coming back from Canada. and they boarded the train, or the, either that or they were on the train. I believe they boarded the train about 30 miles to the north of the U.S. border. They got on board, locked all the train car doors, said you must stay in your seat. You cannot. They locked all the bathroom doors. You can't travel from car to car. You can't get up out of your seat. All electronic equipment must be turned off. No pictures, no recordings. You can't prove that these events happen. Have your passport out, sit down, face straight forward, hold your passport up to us as we come by. And like I said, my partner was an Army brat. He grew up in Europe, right on the in the Fulda Gap in Germany, and he had to travel across, for example, East Germany. He said it reminded him so much of that. The only thing that was different was that they didn't make you pull your window shades down. He said there's a guy sitting in front, and then three guys board the train. Dark blue outfits, pants tucked into their boots, very intimidating. I mean, it's you know, obviously you and your audience know that you do that for a reason. You're sending a message to people. Three guys get on board. They say, if we need to, we'll bring on the canines with us. We want to, you know, verify who you are. Nobody leave their seat. And they proceeded to check everybody's ID. The guy sitting right in front of my partner had his passport upside down by mistake. And they made an example out of him. They said, sir, you know, fix this. We can remove you from the train. You know, we can, anybody that wants to cause us a problem, we'll take them off the train, detain them for questioning. This is just routine. And my partner was absolutely aghast at that, because all this is really doing is desensitizing Americans to being treated like this. And it has nothing to do with security per se. It has to do with the intimidation
factor. No, that's a Viper guy. And again, they tell them, intimidate people on purpose, be rude on purpose,
yep.
Break their will. Meanwhile, the government's on record in the Sinaloa drug cartel Fast and Furious hearings. That's where all this came from. The media just chose the gun running part, where they're allowed to ship cocaine in. Eight federal agencies are ordered to go along with it. And then they ship guns out. This is a criminal government. Now I want to briefly get into the CFR. We're about to go to break and come back, but I just noticed you're part of the community.
The Committee on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, which is always, I guess, briefly tell us what that is, then we'll come back.
Yeah, this is something I was invited to join. I didn't seek it out. I have some very good friends that participate, and they're very conservative friends, and folks that have served their country honorably and longstanding. So I joined because my friends had invited me into this. I don't know if there's a particular plot to bring somebody as conservative as me in to try to coerce me or not. I don't think that's the case, although I have to look at it and see everybody in this group is an incredibly, incredibly liberal person.
Hold on. Stay there. I'm sorry to interrupt you. The Daily Caller is reporting. It's up at drudgereport.com. Correcting the fairy trail, a SEALs account of how Osama bin Laden really died. They're saying the official story is a total lie. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'll tell you what, Dan Kofal is our guest. I was getting him to the Council on Foreign Relations because he's part of the Committee on Foreign Relations, which is sub-regional groups of it. But his friend, who's his business partner, who is a member of the CFR, got him into it. He was to tell us something about the CFR, some of his view on it, what it's really up to. And I promise we'll get to your phone calls coming up in the middle of the next segment. But Dan, we're also going to get into the Italian debt crisis. Ron Paul, where you see this country's going, all the urban warfare training going on for U.S. cities collapsing. Let's get into the CFR, though, a little bit the next segment. Right now, let's get into some of those other areas you were raising.
All right, we can talk a little bit about if you want to do the Italian debt crisis.
Yeah.
That is something that is absolutely bubbling to the top right now, and there's a reason gold went up as much as it has today. You've got Berlusconi, who may or may not stay on as prime minister. Italy's debt problem is the biggest debt problem in all of Europe. And anytime somebody says that Europe's debt problem won't migrate to the U.S. is absolutely wrong. Italy's debt problem is 4 to 5 times the problem of Spain's, and Spain was 10 times the problem of Greece's. So when you've got a financial situation in Europe right now that there is no real solution for. You saw the EU come out last week and say we've got a $1.4 trillion solution. One, and the markets rallied 400 points. Great, great, great. 800 points, 300 points the next day. Only problem is they never told anybody they didn't know how to fund it. And so you're seeing problems in Europe that are absolutely migrating our way. And I think the U.S. is preparing for a major financial problem in the United States, and they'll be looking toward towards some sort of a national emergency in the U.S. because you're not going to be able to stop it. The only way you could possibly stop any of this is for the Federal Reserve to turn on the printing presses for everybody to turn on their printing presses worldwide, and all you'll do is delay the inevitable. And that's why I always say you don't have to worry about deflation. And the thing with deflation worldwide, we always hear that it's going to be terrible. Prices are going to go down. No, it's not. But there are two things you can bank on, genetically speaking, is that politicians spend and central bankers print. It's in their DNA. They can't help themselves. You won't have deflation. Central bankers will turn on the tap, and you will see hyperinflation. You're going to see that in Europe when they start to try to do this $1.4 trillion bailout, and that won't even take care of Italy. So the problem is there. You can't get rid of it. It's a matter of when you decide to turn on the printing presses. QE3 is the only reason Bernanke has not gotten into QE3 yet. It's because he's waiting for the right time to have the greatest effect. He's waiting for more turmoil, and then he'll step to the plate and start printing, as everybody else with the printing press will. So, if anything were more obvious to me, I don't know what it would be.
What's your time frame on things really being hardcore depression, not just sliding into depression?
Well, I think you'll see hyperinflation first. And the listeners on our show are just like your listeners, great listeners, really in tune. But I don't think they realize how fast hyperinflation can occur. Hyperinflation can occur in a matter of days, not months, not years. And all it takes is for somebody to say, "I'm selling dollars. I don't want dollars."
That's the rush towards the exit.
Yeah, that's right. And it isn't so much that all of a sudden things start to ooch up in prices. It will be that the dollar isn't worth the dollar.
Listen, I've talked to family friends. When they go to Europe now for 2 years, they don't want dollars.
That's right. That is exact. There are fewer. I talked to another good friend of mine who runs an asset management business. We always talk about liquidity, and he talks about the dollar being the most liquid asset in the world. I said it isn't, because an ounce of gold I can take anywhere in the world, and somebody will give me something for it. A dollar, there are plenty of places in the world where nobody wants the dollar. The problem we're going to have in America is when the number of those places around the world not wanting the dollar begin to increase. And there's some point, there's a tipping point, where the next dollar off of that printing press, nobody wants.
All right, Dan Kofall is our guest. We're going to come back, briefly talk about the CFR, get into what hyperinflation looks like. We had an article a few months ago showing all the different currencies from hyperinflation. Perhaps we'll show that for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and post it for everybody else at Infowars.com. And I promise we'll get to all your phone calls and a lot more straight ahead. Stay with us. Got some breaking news.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Dan Kofall is our guest. And yes, I know that we have loaded phone lines, and I'm going to go to your calls here in just a few minutes. And then we're going to continue with calls throughout this hour to the end of the transmission today. Then I'll be back this evening, 7 o'clock, for InfoWars Nightly News. Find out more at InfoWarsNews.com. And again, I want to thank you, the listeners, that have supported us over the years with the money bombs and buying the books, the videos, the tapes. We're not the government that comes and forces you to give money and then they use it against you. We're saying, if you believe in alternative media, becoming the mainstream media, if you believe in taking this country back, please support us by spreading the word, by supporting our sponsors, and that means our local sponsors, local AM and FM sponsors as well, the local stations you hear us on. Now, I've just been on Dan's show a few times, and I've talked to folks in Dallas that listen to him. I got friends and family that, I heard you on the Wall Street Shuffle show. So it's popular up there. It's on, quote, CNN radio. It's called that because that's their news. It's the big news talk up there in Dallas. We're on a few great affiliates as well in the DFW area. Wonderful folks here. But Dan, I wanted to get him on, but then I noticed in the bio, I was like, he's a member of the Committee on Foreign Relations, which is sub-regional groups. It's like, he's a member of the Dallas Council on Foreign Relations or Chicago or New York. So as things get more and more complex, they go out and find movers and shakers that they want to see if they can basically get into their group. And a lot of people say it's keep your friends close, enemies closer is the argument, because there's certainly people in the lower CFR who are not globalist. That's why I've said you don't know that Angelina Jolie is a bad person or a good person. We've got to wait and see. She may be horrible. She may be great. You know, the point is, this is how the globalists try to get you in with powerful people. So if you play ball, you move up. Now, Dan, your partner at your intelligence company, tell folks about yourself a little bit, because I think that explains the whole CFR thing. And it's an interesting perspective. Then we'll get into the what hyperinflation looks like, the crisis in Europe expanding, and then we'll get to some phone calls.
Well, I've been in finance and my whole life, and chief financial officer of a number of public companies. I taught finance at graduate school here in Dallas for a number of years. So I've been in the financial area forever and ever, and started doing a radio show about 5 years ago up here in Dallas. And it's always a pleasure. Our ratings go through the roof when you come on. So if you want to come on 5 days a week with us, you are always welcome.
Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could.
But we have a chance to do a lot of really great things. I belong to the Ludwig von Mises Institute, Ben's business executive for national security, and I get invited to a lot of different organizations. I'm also on the Texas Israeli Homeland Security. I'm co-chairman of the Homeland Security Committee for that. But the council or the Committee on Foreign Relations was an invitation from some friends of mine who are as conservative as I am, and they said you might enjoy the perspective of what goes on there. And the truth of the matter is, it's so liberal, and the people that are involved are so liberal that it is fun to go. But it's hard for me to work up any level of excitement for it, because I just sit there and say, no, that's wrong, no, that's wrong, no, that's wrong. But it is interesting to see how they think, and the speakers they have in. They had Rubin in a few months ago, and wow, I had so many questions I wanted to ask, because he was so off base. The former Goldman guy and Rubin, where the hell? Heck, you know him from the Clinton cabinet too.
Yeah, Robert Rubin.
Yeah, Robert Rubin. And it was just an hour worth of politics, of indoctrination.
So basically, at the lower and mid-level, that's what I've always heard, it's the globalists lecturing you.
Yes, that's correct.
So you basically join it, and then you sit there and are lectured about the New World Order and how great it is.
Yeah, and I have to admit, when Rubin didn't talk so much about the New World Order, but his commentary about the financial system, it was clear that was the direction it was headed. And I have to admit that if I want to go out and I want to watch MSNBC and I want to listen to the CFR, it's an interesting perspective, but certainly it's more humor than it is, learning anything.
Yeah, well, I think the issue is 20 years ago, if you talked about it, they said you were crazy, it didn't exist.
Yes.
Now, because of the internet in the last 16 years or so being so popular, they've pretty much, to see a CFR meeting, like you said, is to watch CNN or MSNBC.
Yeah, it is. And, it's not all a bunch of lunatics. It's really a bunch of people that sit there, and I'm convinced, when there were 2,000 or 3,000 people there at the Rubin dinner, and I'm convinced people show up because they are expected to show up. They show up in a nice gown and jewelry, and it's a social event. They don't have they don't really know what he's saying or why he's saying it. They're just supposed to be there.
Well, I talked to a guy whose grandfather owns one of the big funeral homes in Texas, and he was telling me the story of his grandpa got mad. He got invited to the Federal Reserve to, quote, inside, economist information. And they told him, yes, the economy's going to collapse. This is about a year ago. Here's how you make money on it. So basically, it is getting the local wealth involved. The elite is smart. They know to go try to organize. I mean, I've been approached years ago about, joining elitist organizations, because they want anybody who's a mover and shaker, even regionally, they want you part of their club where they can watch you and influence you.
Absolutely right, Alex. And you'd be a perfect candidate for these things, because they'd love to keep an eye on you.
Just amazing. You talk to a lot of movers and shakers in finance. I mean, from what I get and from talking to a lot of people off record, the elite's known for 3-4 years. Total collapse. They're digging in. Like you said, hyperinflation followed by bedlam. The military's been getting ready for a decade. Now they admit they're getting ready for it.
Yes, they do. And if I could digress for just 1 second, there's something really important that I think Americans need to really pay attention to. And it's this super committee, the idea of trying to take $1.2 trillion out of the federal spending over the next 10 years. Here's the travesty of this whole thing. The folks know that we're not going to be able to cut the budget, because the minute you cut the budget, you're cutting entitlements, you're going to send people right out into the streets rioting, as well, if you cut their benefits. Here's the travesty of this whole thing. If they don't cut this $1.2 trillion out over the next 10 years, automatic cuts kick in. The automatic cuts are going to devastate the military. And this is our simple little shtick on our show. What we say is the only thing that makes a strong dollar are those 11 aircraft carriers, those 13 boomers, the nuclear submarines, the 2,500 warheads, the 2 million men that we have out there, and women in the armed forces every day. Those would keep your country strong and your dollar strong. Take away that military. Take away the military's ability to strike first and to strike fear into the heart of everybody around the world. And I want to carry the biggest stick around the world. We spend years, decades, centuries building that big stick. I don't want to give it away now. Without that big stick, our dollar, we are nothing more than a third world nation in Zimbabwe with $15 trillion worth of debt and a printing press running 24 hours a day. The very thought that we would cut our military in a world where most everybody in that world wants us to go away is a travesty. And I don't think enough people relate the strength of our military to the strength of our dollar.
Let me be honest with you, Dan. This may be the one area that we disagree on. And let me be clear.
Sure.
Intellectually, scientifically, geopolitically, what you're saying is absolutely true. But look at how we've been maneuvered to this place. Look at how once they've got a giant 50 million or more people totally dependent on government, that's now a weapon that can be used by the governing class, the political class, to hold us hostage. So you're right, as Bob Chapman has said here, and as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, you cut the government spending, we go into a cardiac arrest. You increase it, we go into hyperinflation.
Yep.
So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I get all that. And I understand the only reason the dollar's still there and the only reason we're not in total bedlam right now is because the giant, strong military that strikes fear. But here's the problem. The very elites that run our military and run our country are busy eroding what's left of our country and positioning us where all we have left is the military. So we're even more apt to follow these mega corporations' moves when they direct us in to take over areas in the name of propping our country up. And you know, that's kind of like being a Roman soldier. Well, Rome's horrible, but it's better than the next best thing, you know. So I understand all of this. Look, it'd be one thing if it was like 200 years ago where if you served the British Empire, it was a rough job, but you actually got to keep some of the booty, okay? And I still would morally not be for that. This is a deal where we do all of this, and then we get to be in Nazi Germany on top of it. So it's pretty much like Nazi Germany then. It's going to have to fall, and it's going to be ugly when it falls, but this empire is not my empire. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, Alex, I think you and I are in violent agreement, not disagreement on this one. I don't want our military fighting wars for corporations. I don't want the military fighting absurd wars that they're fighting right now. That's not what I'm looking for. But I don't want people to assume that you get rid of the military, you can cut their budget by half, and then it's like owning the biggest mansion on the block and leaving your doors open at night and saying, don't worry about it, come on in and take what you want. What my concern is, we have a military that's not being used properly right now, but the answer isn't to shrink the military. The answer is to put the right leadership in place that uses the military correctly and to get corporate influence out of the military. I agree. I don't think you and I are in disagreement at all.
Well, here's an example. We shouldn't have FEMA in control fighting fires. The state should be in control and have our National Guard here at home, and they can go fight fires. They're the experts.
Brother, my biggest concern in this whole country is FEMA. Maybe I'm old-fashioned on that. But FEMA and TSA are my two greatest concerns in this country as far as the sliding into 1984. FEMA is a terrifying organization to me.
Have you heard they're ordering people off their land that have been there 50 years all over the country that are by lakes?
Yes, I have, and it's a shame. And 35 years ago, when FEMA was just starting out, it was one of the things. Oh, they're going to come in. They're going to save us from floods and from nuclear disaster. They're never designed for that. That's not their charter. Their charter is to take over in the event of a national emergency. And that, once they take over, how do you get FEMA out? That's my big concern.
Well, I mean, the feds are running everything already. The police are... Look, when we come back, we're going to go to calls. But I have a whole stack of articles here dealing with this. Concern over public anxiety causes feds to shorten EAS alert. They were going to take over for 5 to 10 minutes. Now they're shortening the automatic takeover coming up on Wednesday to just 30 seconds. We got that report after we take some calls. We've also got former Mossad chief Halevi says Iran attack will impact region for 100 years. We've got that moving towards green light. I want to get your take on what an attack will mean. So let's take some calls, but work those questions in. And I promise, callers, I want to hear from you. We're going right to you after this break, Janice. And then we're going to talk to Tim, Otter. No, Otter's up next. So we're going to go to Janice, Otter, Tim, and others straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't forget the network website. A lot of great stories, incredible radio show. Dan Kofall is our guest. He'll be with us till about 40 after. Look at this headline. Iran mullahs to sue U.S. over terror acts. They claim that United States troops are inside the country. Funny, I remember 5 years ago Bush admitted they had four groups out of Iraq attacking Iran inside and admitted it. So why sue over something the White House admits is going on? But are those really U.S. commandos is the question. We'll ask Dan what he thinks of that coming up here in just a moment. But right now, I appreciate everybody holding. Let's go through some of your phone calls here. This lady was on briefly earlier, but I had to go to break, so I brought her back. She had a couple points she wanted to make. Janice, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Yes, I've been looking through my notes about the dates and the appropriations. We were talking about the appropriations hearing. Where she wants to build the threat fusion centers all over.
Yeah, so we should start. Kathleen Sebelius wants health threat fusion centers.
Right, but she also, in that meeting, wants to merge the Department of Health and Human Services with the DOD.
Wow.
And Tom Harkin tells her, sorry, lady, you're getting your food safety bill. The FDA are already underfunded and overworked, so they're not going to be able to deal with it, so you're getting what you want.
But you know how they got it, though. He just signed an executive order for the rural councils, which is under Department of Defense now, so that a Department of Defense is going to make sure you got your animal ID, premises ID, and the game wardens, they've tripled and quadrupled. They're now going to be your commissar minder, and there's nothing more a lot of them love than slapping the citizens around. Let's get our guest comment on that.
I don't follow that, Alex, as close as you guys do. Honestly, I don't.
Well, how creepy is the Department of Defense now itself is under FEMA domestically, but it's going to enforce the food safety, premises safety, animal ID, and basically use federalized game wardens harassing you?
All I know is that it's 1984 all over again. Nothing surprises me, and that's bad because I'm a victim of the desensitization like everybody else is. I know what's happening, and I can't stop being desensitized.
Well, anybody wants to know, well, they've doubled, tripled, or quadrupled Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, and your local game wardens. They're not going to treat you like scum because you got a deer rifle and, you know, didn't fill out a form right and take you to jail and take your truck and everything. They find one premises animal ID problem out of their way, and it's all executive order. It's not even law. This is the new rural commissars, and God help this country. They are just on power trips, and it makes me want to throw up. Janice, what was your other point you wanted to make?
Okay, I found the date. It's 1-1-10 that she makes this big speech with the bragging about how she got FEMA on board. She says that FMAPs were built in Jobsville. She and President have already activated HEAT. That's the Healthcare Enforcement Action Team, and they have the...
No. I saw it. Listen, I saw it at the time. And that's why when you called, I said, please dig up the date on the C-SPAN website, because I remember this. And now I remember her not getting it. So they said, it doesn't matter. Obama will just sign the Rural Affairs Council that's under FEMA and Department of Defense. I appreciate your call. Amazing information. My God, it just gets crazier by the minute. Heaven help this country. Let's go ahead and talk to Otter in Mass. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Can you hear?
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Good show. Hard to follow. Quite a list today. It's been quite a run with the money bomb. I'd love to have seen more action, but I believe it's still coming. We're putting the energy into it. I'm here to plant seeds. I can't comment to the many intellects that you bring up, though I will say that Mike Adams is a tremendous asset in bringing a female into listening to your show. Women love him. You know how the maternal energies have served humanity.
Yes.
He speaks to them. Dry ice. How are those Bohemian Groves going to get their fresh lobsters in from Maine without a lot more effort? HARP when the day comes that you're doing, talk about HARP, given that the systems are still working and that life continues, 1339, the sun, solar flare, everything else that's going on. If those things all allow us, I'll call back at that time. I've got several hundred patents through patent searches, which will lay us into that. I think maybe one of the most important things that I've wanted to do in a long time, you may know, a letter written to William Elkin, Abraham Lincoln, probably the last thing written by him. I see in the near future a crisis approaches that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. As a result of the war, corporations have been enthroned.
I'll tell you what, stay there. I want you to finish that Abraham Lincoln quote. We actually have that in Fall of the Republic. I want you to finish that quote, then we'll get the take of our guest on it. Hit a couple other issues dealing with Iran.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I wanted to finish up with our guest because he really is a great financial mind. He was taught it in college as well, but actually lived it in business, of what he sees happening with the debt crisis in Europe. We told you that every time one country is bankrupted, the next country will be bankrupted because the derivatives they've signed on to, the sovereign debt, the welfare system, there's no way to pay it back. And we're talking about the rest of Europe compared to Greece, at least being 100 times conservatively the debt. So when you hear it's all about Greece, that's just the scapegoat. We're going to get his take on that briefly. And also what's happening with Iran. Going back to Otter in mass. Otter, you were reading that famous letter from the president right before he was killed, and the fact that he didn't want to allow these corporations to basically take over the government. And, of course, that was Abraham Lincoln. Go ahead and read the quote now.
You did hit right on it. William Elkin, last letter supposedly from Lincoln to anyone. The power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. I feel at this moment more anxiety for the society, the safety of my country, than ever before, even amidst the war. I think that politics is based in duality. I think there's no...
Hold on, you were kind of paraphrasing him. He said the money power... I mean, the full quote is really powerful, but that was part of it. It sounded like you were going from memory on that. Go ahead and make your last point. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You are correct. And the money power of the country. I started at a different point than I stopped. I'm not a young man like you.
Hey, Otter, you're awesome. You're awesome. I wasn't criticizing you. I just know that's a real quote. I went and looked it up. But finish your point about duality.
Paradox. It lies through law. It lies through the dissemination, MSM, you name it. We're kind of an amorphous gel at this point in time. We're not a first world nation. We're not a third world nation, but whoever speaks of a second, where we live is somewhere in between. And that's why I mentioned Mike Adams. We need to get more people awake. We need to get more people unafraid to put an InfoWords bumper sticker or a Ron Paul bumper sticker. You all are saying so much. It was so powerful.
Well, Otter, I appreciate that call. What Otter is saying is true. The system wants a chilling effect. It wants to intimidate everybody so that we just sit back and then let the system kind of organize its own revolution that calls for collectivism and more of the same. If you don't want to live under a collectivist socialist system on the bottom with a fascist system on top, if you don't want to live under that crony capitalist anti-free market system, now is the time to get aggressive, folks. Now is the time to get involved because people are ready to listen right now. What's your take on that, Dan?
I think that's exactly right. If shows like yours don't get the message out, and people listen to you worldwide, they listen to our show also. If we can't get messages out to people to say now is the time, because every day that slips by is a day further and further that we cede control to a government that is absolutely not representing our best wishes anymore and hasn't been for quite some time. Now is the time. We've got elections coming up. But yeah, you can't get that message out more strongly. People always say, what can they do as Americans? You can do what you and I are doing. We can go out and do radio shows and try to affect other people and hopefully bring them around and give them the facts to work off of. But people have to get off of their butts and get involved and not be afraid to express an opinion, not be intimidated by folks that were on that train, not be intimidated by the TSA or FEMA or others. And they're going to be good citizens that get swept up and that lose initially. But ultimately, if we don't do it now, we'll never have the chance to do it.
Well, the thing is, they're training us that we're prisoners. And the system has dealt with criminals so long, they basically have caught fleas. And by that, I mean, where the law enforcement meets the road, they treat everybody now, including little old ladies, like absolute criminal scum. And the truth is, if you want to play this guilty until proven innocent game, government statistically is a lot more corrupt than the average citizen. So you're the ones that have something to hide. How about we come search you? How about we come in your house without a warrant? Oh, no. No. We don't want that. That's national security to let you operate. Now, I want to get to some more calls here, but let's talk about Iran. Iran has come out and said that and in fact, here's Press TV, the official media agency of Iran. Iran has come out and they say that they're going to sue the U.S. government for staging terror attacks inside Iran. And they're going to the U.N. Security Council with that information. We know Israel and the U.S. launched the Stuxnet. What is your view and your take on that? And then I want to get back briefly into hyperinflation, what it generally looks like in Argentina, in Zimbabwe, in Weimar, Germany.
Well, I think briefly, I think it's within the realm of reason to assume that the U.S. is operating anywhere it wants to operate and that other countries that have the U.S.'s capability can operate where they want to operate. Is it rational to assume they're operating in Iran? Absolutely. Is it rational to assume that they've already maybe done some significant damage in Iran? Absolutely. Iran wouldn't be bringing this up right now if damage hadn't already been done. The question now becomes, if enough damage has been done inside of Iran, then what's the purpose of proceeding forward with actions against Iran? Because obviously, once you start a significant conflict and drag in other parties, that's your comments earlier were exactly right. That is that's a whole new ballgame. If you can keep it below the radar and you can keep it out of the mainstream conflict, I think you'd be doing much better. So the question is damage being done inside Iran right now? I think the answer is absolutely yes.
Well, Iran says it's happening. They say their facilities are being attacked, but I would think Israel would be the one doing that, not the U.S.
You know, that would be as good a bet as anything else would be.
continuing here, what are you hearing from your sources? Because I know you do open source intelligence for government with your group on one of your side businesses. I mean, from what I've seen, Netanyahu's there saying, give me the green light. And a lot of people in the Israeli power structure are saying, you just want to do that for political expediency. And some are saying Obama may want that as a distraction from the energy company scams. The Drudge Report is talking about Obama's Nixon moment, refusing congressional subpoenas. I mean, what scuttlebutt are you hearing?
Well, if you need a wag the dog moment, and you and I have talked about this, this would be the perfect wag the dog moment. If Kane's a few minutes in the media doesn't stick longer than it is, then Obama's going to need something as a distraction. It's worked for presidents in the past. It'll work in the future. You've got a wag the dog moment coming up here. I think the U.S. has said to Israel and said to the world, if you act, you're acting unilaterally, which wouldn't be true, but the U.S. is trying to distance themselves from it. I think the stage has been set. I think the president has given Israel the permission to use the airspace it needs to use. And if they take it public and make this a much more glamorous event, a bigger event, then I think Israel is ready to go as soon as they corral and get their own people on board. All their people in Israel are not on board with attacking Iran, and that's what Netanyahu is working hard at right now.
Well, generally, Israel doesn't go around getting everybody in line. Some have said this is theater to make it look like deliberation, or they can hang it around Netanyahu's head if it doesn't go well. And I think there's some of that, but Israel doesn't normally behave like this from what I've watched. This looks like he is having to corral people.
He's trying to corral his own citizens, and I think he really wants a consensus with inside of Israel. And I believe that's true, that not everybody in Israel is a big fan of creating what could escalate very quickly into something that might not be controllable. I don't think it will escalate into that. I think any action Israel takes will not be as open and overt and as major as everybody is speaking about.
Oh, so just the covert operations, not bombing of the facilities?
I'm just giving you my opinion, and it's worth exactly what you're paying for it right now, because I think that it'll happen. I think it'll happen sooner rather than later, but I think it'll be very controlled, and it'll be more to send a message than it will be to destroy more than the facilities they're going after. They're certainly not going after the country in general.
And that's because it would probably turn the Iranian people against the West, right?
Sure, and there's no reason to go after the Iranian people in general. There's absolutely, and that would turn the tide against Israel now and in the future. If in any pinpoint attacks, at least you can say I took a position and I controlled my actions. So I think that's what.
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly doesn't help people at their barbecue joints saying, "Let's play cowboys and Iranians."
Yeah, I like that one. That's good.
You know that's a takeoff of a really racist joke.
Yes, I do know that. I was hoping you were going to go through the whole joke. Yeah, I think that that's right. We'll see something sooner rather than later. I think the president needs it sooner. I don't think you can keep. I don't think Israel can raise this level of concern and angst and out in the world for so long and then let it go by the wayside. They made a mistake a couple of years ago. And I don't think they're going to make that same mistake again.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. The New World Order is playing cowboys with the American people through the food, the water, the culture, these rural affairs committees, this rural affairs office. This is the total corporate takeover of America and the world, not by, you know, some friendly Western group either. This is globalist, and it's cancer.
It is, and as you tell your folks on the show every day, the more you sit back and are complacent and take this, the greater the intimidation factor is going to be, and then one day you won't have the strength to do it. I think people need to stand up now. They can still change the U.S. through the voting booth, but they may not be able to do that years down the road.
Well, there's no doubt government knows the people are awake and are trying to build up this giant propaganda as well as physical force against the people. And I hope we're not a nation of cowards. I hope that it has the effect it's had on me to make me get angry and motivated and focused to resist this. But in the final equation, we don't even need 10% of the public to defeat tyranny. So people shouldn't get demoralized by the furniture, by the sheeple, by the people that are too weak-minded to realize what's happening. All we need is a motivated minority, as Thomas Jefferson said, to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere.
Well, you were able to do that up here in Dallas when you had your protest about the Fed and the Fed. It was a tremendous thing. A lot of Ron Paul supporters were there. You'd asked me about Ron Paul earlier. I have a lot of respect for Ron Paul. I think that he has many, many, many good ideas. This is the one area that you and I may have a little disagreement on, is when he starts talking about winding back the military and bringing them back within our own borders. I'm not comfortable yet with that with Ron Paul, but as far as financially, as far as constitutionally, Paul's are just absolutely a great candidate.
Dan Kofall, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for spending time with us.
Always a pleasure, Alex. Thank you so much. Look forward to having you on our show.
You bet. Look forward to doing it. Popular show up there in Dallas. Okay, listen, I'll go into overdrive, whatever has to happen. I'm going to get to Matt. I'm going to get to Frank. Frank's actually ahead of Matt. No, it's Matt and then Frank and then others. I'll get to George, Steve, and others. But I briefly wanted to bring Ted Anderson up here to talk about what's happening in global markets. Ted, we told people that as soon as they, quote, bailed out Greece, that they would start imploding Italy and then Spain and Portugal, which have much greater debts, and that American taxpayers are going to pay for a lot of this. I mean, this is insane, Ted, and look what's happening with the markets right now. Ted, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, right now gold is at $1,793.90, up $38.90, hit a high today of $1,794. Silver right now at $3,502, hitting a high today of $3,504. It's been a hot market right now, Alex. You're right about that. The Greeks are protesting, probably as they should, because the bailout is for the banks. It's not for the government. It's not for the people. There are a lot of banks that have their hind ends on the line here, and they're trying to get the people to to pay it off through taxation. And you better believe it, it's coming right here to the United States next. And you can already see that happening. I mean, these banks have become predators. And the creation of money is just destroying the savings of the people. It's predatory, it's wrong, and gold is showing the result of it right now, because we almost have $1,800 gold today.
And by the way, Ted, I should point out that you're joining us via video Skype, by the way, and it looks great. Please continue.
Yeah, no, just right now. I mean, I was reading David Levenstein's little quote here. He just says, as far as I'm concerned, corrupt governments that engage in the reckless spending in the banks and the financial institutions that defraud, lie, deceive their own customers and are financial predators. And it just goes on to saying that, you know, just what I said, it's destroying the savings of the people. It's ruining life for the middle class. It's just like Ron Paul says, just like we've been saying, you know, that bailout going on in Greece is just the tip of the iceberg. Gold sitting here at $1,793.90 is just a reflection of that. The United States dollar is going to continue to drop. And that's why I think it's so very important that people get involved in gold and silver. Your idea of that American Dream video, and for me to get the opportunity to put two silver dollars in there, deliver that to people for $73, which is well below the cost, to get it to people so they can become aware, get a little bit of education of exactly what's going on. That's what this is about. I mean, you have these protests going on out in Greece, and we have these protests going on out here in Wall Street, New York. Obviously, these people don't know the full story, and what they need to have is they need to have a seed to be planted in the minds of the people so we can get back to true patriotism.
Just to be clear, you were going to have to go up as silver goes up soon. A few weeks ago, it was $73, two silver dollars. That's basically a cost. Then the free DVD about the banker takeover, its history, and the book, Mark Dice's book, all of that free on top of it. What are the two silver dollars now with the free video and book?
Well, I'm still doing them right now at $73, Alex, but you got to realize if you broke all that apart and just bought them individually, you would be paying well over $100 for the whole package. But shipping the whole thing, we're still doing it for $73. And the reason why I'm doing it, it does lose money flat out. There's no way that you can make money at this dollar level. However, it gets the message to the people. Plus, also, I'm just so revved up to see what happened with your money bomb. I mean, what a great way to support the movement and what's, you know, the whole thing.
And by the way, I should tell folks they can still donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And until sometime tomorrow afternoon, we're going to keep restreaming that 27 hours with all those guests. If anybody missed the David Icke, the Fritz Springmeier, the George Norrie, all of it. And by the way, I will be on for 3 hours tonight, 3 hours with George Norrie, 3 hours of the show this evening. So very, very exciting about that. Coasttocoastam.com. John, Ted's on with us, the boss. We'll skip this network break so we can continue talking to folks. I am horrible about skipping breaks, but that's the only way I can finish the show and then try to get to your phone calls and hit all this news. Ted, we never really toot our horns properly. Everything we talked about is coming true. The Vatican, and again, I got a lot of friends that are Catholic, friends that are Baptist, friends that are whatever. I'm not bashing Catholics here, but I mean, the main Vatican Council did come out and call for a global government, a global bank. You've got all these major institutions calling for it. Time Magazine, Newsweek, because they're telling them the solution to all the world's crises is a new bank of the world. Well, it's a new bank of the world run by the very same banks. World government is now out in the open. It's exactly what we said it would be. We told people when gold was $265 an ounce to buy it, and we told you when it hit $2,000, it might go back down, but overall it would only go back up because they're globally devaluing all major currencies in concert. And the G20 calls it this coordinated devaluation, and you just heard the businessman and professor on earlier talking about hyperinflation down the road. Before we go into the real depression, I mean, folks think it's bad now. I'm not trying to scare you. This is a fact. The government knows what they've done. Gold and silver is one of the best hedges there is. I don't buy it as an investment, though it's been the best, bar none, across-the-board investment of the last decade. Type into Google, 12-year gold-silver graph. Look at the two go up. Look at it go up over $100 now in the last few weeks, gaining back many of the losses it had. That's because They have been devaluing the currencies. And the euro goes down, then the dollar goes down. Then the euro goes up, and the dollar goes up. But if you look at it, over time, world currencies are stepping like a staircase downward. Gold and silver and other commodities are on a staircase upwards, only because it costs more of those fiat currencies to buy the real tangible good. And I think probably the biggest sleeper is silver. And so I would only steer people in a direction I think is great. And especially when Ted Anderson has deals on gold and silver. Ted, you're always plugging the two silver dollars because that is the you do lose money on that, and that's the best deal you've got, and it is an insane deal. Free shipping, free book, free video, silver dollars at cost. But you bought a bunch of gold and silver when the price was down a few months ago. Now it's gone back up a lot. Even last week you said you'd run out of most of it. What do you still have at the super low price that's left when people call? What's the list of special loss leaders you've got?
Well, especially if you're looking for silver. I mean, right now, the Lakota Nation silver rounds are at $43. If you look on eBay, you're going to pay a lot more for those. Walking Liberty halves are at $17.03. We have those discounted even against our own internet prices. The survival bags of dimes, I mean, I can't say it enough. People need to have small fractions of gold and silver that they can use as money because the paper currency is going into the toilet. Bags of silver dimes right now, $100 face value of silver dimes, or 1,000 dimes, is $2,643. And by the way, Alex, that means it now takes 26 dimes to, or 26 of the old, of the new copper dimes to buy one old silver dime. That gives you a reflection of what's going on. And as a matter of fact, the copper dimes are worth more than their face value just because they have copper in them. They have to make pennies out of steel. What is it going to take to wake the people up so they actually see that the government is driving their currency right into the floor? I mean, the people that have been trying to save and live out their retirement, you know, they might as well just kiss it goodbye. You really need to have gold and silver. And like you say, silver probably makes more sense than gold at this time. But if you're a larger investor, gold is, you're going to have to look at that option because it's just too heavy to store well too much silver. I mean, the silver eagles right now are at $19.5506. I really like to support Ron Paul. I've got those Campaign for Liberty quarter ounce proof coins, and they're at $536.57.
Aren't you almost out of those?
I've got just a few left, Alex. I made, I can't remember, I think I made 2,000 of them. I might have 200 of them left.
All right, here's the number, 800-686-2237, 1-800-686-2237. Teb, we'll have to have you back on as we watch this unfold, but I tell you, I mean, I'm getting my storable food in order. I've already had it for years, but I'm getting the lanterns ready, the guns ready. I was out shooting this weekend, something I hadn't done in a year. And I'm hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. And more, you know, under globalism, this leads to a very bad place. I'm telling everybody, get ready for full collapse of everything, of the economy, and then hope we're wrong 5 years from now. Okay, but the way all this is going, people need to get storable food. They need to get gold and silver. They need to get firearms. You need to get ready. Ted Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me up, Alex.
Thank you. And a lot of people are so broke, they can't even do that. And more importantly than any of that, spread the word about liberty, because people being awake is one of the only hopes we have to avert all this. That if people are awake to this corruption, it will disappear like phantoms at dawn, as Thomas Jefferson said. I want to jam in some more calls here. I never really talk about this sponsor, and they've just got such amazing deals going right now. It's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. The holiday season, eFoods Direct is offering some unbelievable deals. If you've ever thought about getting a supply of affordable foods, now is the time. Don't wait until next time, because this may be the best deal they've ever offered. This season, get yourself the gift of food security and peace of mind in these unstable times with the best storable foods out there from eFoodsDirect.com. They got a bunch of specials running right now. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or click on the banners at Infowars.com, or give them a call, 800-876-0871. That's the number to call to ask about different specials they've got running. 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. Get prepared today. All right, continuing here. I'm going to do a little bit of overdrive into the next hour. The official show will be over. And then I guess XM takes the show an hour late, so it's like live for a couple hours, then it's the first hour again. But regardless, we're coming back with your phone calls here in just a moment. But some stations obviously will break away to the next show. Yeah, yeah, we're going to phone calls. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do a rant because I need to had a mistake at the first 5 minutes. I want to fix that. Holy mackerel. We'll see what we're going to have to do here. Let's go ahead and talk to Matt in North Carolina. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Good.
Just a couple things. First of all, I've been trying to call for a while and haven't been able to get through. But on the Libya thing, I noticed when you did your money bomb special, you had Mr. Dansk on, and while you guys were talking, he made an interesting point, which is that the truth is never simple. And I think with the Libya thing, what I failed to see anybody notice, I mean, I don't know if you remember when the rebels took Tripoli and they'd renamed the square or whatever downtown. And you see, you know, this beautiful shot of the square. You see all these people, and they're all waving the new Libyan flag because the old one was just solid green. And there's this new nice-looking flag that they're waving. They're all waving it. That's all you can see. And then you see these people trailing through the streets with a big 50-foot version of the Libyan flag. And you've got all these reporters on the ground, and nobody asks the question, where the hell did they get the flags? I mean, is there some kind of, did the rebels set up a flag factory?
No, it's all,
buying them from China?
It's all a big psyop. I saw that. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's like the illegals when they had those demonstrations for total open borders. They admitted that big foundations in the U.S. handed out the flags.
Yeah, I mean, obviously somebody's passing out these flags to these guys when they come in, which begs the question of how were the flags shipped in? What funds were used to pay for those flags? What factory got the contract?
Sir, they now admit they fly the Al-Qaeda flag over the country. They gave it to Al-Qaeda. Give your rights up because of Al-Qaeda.